Yes, folks, here I am, Maurice, back from the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association home show that was last week. I am transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Our physical plant store, brick and mortar, as most people say, in Tucson, Arizona, is situated at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That puts us six blocks south of 22nd Street on 6th Avenue, as somebody pointed out to me the other day. We're the big yellow building on the west side of the street, or the right side as you're progressing southbound. Come on down and see us. Our hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We are closed on various holidays, as well as over Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving Day through Saturday, and opening up again on Monday, and from Christmas, which will be coming up shortly, from December 23rd to the first day in the first business day in January of 2020. Our phone number on location is 520-624-7200. If you want to go on our website, it's www.ahandymanshaven, as I say. The apostrophe for the S is not needed, so the wordage looks like ahandymanshaven.com. We do have a Green Valley location. It's situated at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. It's at the north end of Green Valley. It's in Suite 103. And as I mentioned frequently, if you walk out of Manuel's Mexican Food Restaurant, walk straight across the median, you'll be able to walk almost directly into our showroom floor there in Green Valley on the northern end. Coming off of I-19 will be the Duval Mine exit roads. You do have to weave to the left or to the south quite frequently in two areas in order to pick up the Duval Mine roads in order to come down to Calle de las Tiendas. The phone number on location in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Hours of operation are basically from 8:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock or so in the afternoon on Monday through Friday. They are closed Saturday and Sunday. I'd like to remind all of you, and thank you very much for voting for A Handyman's Haven in the best category of cabinets and countertops on the Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice Award. We've been chosen as the winner for the third year in a row. It's much appreciative for each of you that took time to either vote through the text system or through absolutely going online. So that's basically geographical information for us. Come on down and see us. With the home show just being completed, again, my thanks go out to everybody that stopped in at the booth, of which there were several of them, that discussed the show and things that they were interested in, and also talked about various projects that they had coming up. And a lot of them happened to be associated with bathrooms, as well as countertops, of which we have a good display of countertops that are available, as well as our showroom in Tucson in Green Valley, and was also at the home show. We were the recipient of a longevity award at the 2019 Saba Home Show. That's for participating in the home show for 20 events or 10 years of home show participation. It was duly our honor to be there, that's so the public can see that there are other ways in Tucson, Arizona to purchase the items for remodeling when it comes to cabinets, countertops, doors, from that, and moldings from that standpoint. We are being kept pretty busy at the present time period with various activities. It seems as though we are working on constructing many personalized doors, be it their front doors or interior doors for homes, which require quite a bit of a different type of engineering in order to get these doors accomplished. One of them that is pretty sensational that we're working on is a customer did their own stained glass design of a quail, very typical of the quails here in southern Arizona, the gamble quail. It was the male version with the big top hat or top crop, however you want to call it. And various colors of glass were utilized. And they would like to have that stained glass window installed in an exterior door that leaves their bedroom and going into the outside area. So we finally got that design. It's under construction at the present time. It will be an insulated glass protecting it from the outside, as well as the stained glass on the inside, which would design with removability if and when the customer decides to sell their home and move on to another location. It is a very, very pretty, very eclectic looking quail. And it just demonstrates some of the activity that goes on in the wild out here in southern Arizona when you see the quails running around, especially in the springtime when birth is being given, and you see anywhere from 5 to 10 or 15 little quails running behind the mother as they're crossing a street or something. So rather exciting when you see that developing throughout the area. I'd like to talk a little bit about laminate countertops for the present time. That is one of our forte, as you know, with the Reader's Choice Award. We can set up for you 9 feet of laminate countertop for basically $81. And if you would like to, or I shouldn't say if you would like, but that type of countertop comes with an integrated backsplash that's coved in. So basically no leakage can occur between the countertop itself and the backsplash. All straight cuts are complimentary. As an example, if you want to come on down, you want a bunch of 12-inch pieces of countertop, we'll just cut that up for you, and you'll get probably about 9 feet of or 9 pieces of 12-inch countertops. I don't know what you'd be doing with it, but anyway, again, to emphasize that all straight cuts are complimentary. There is a slight upcharge for miter cuts, 45-degree miter cuts or 22.5, and any finished ends that you may desire if they're open and or subjected to a lot of water that may be floating around on the top of the countertop. So just remember, 9 feet of countertop for $81. And folks, this is far less than you pay for any natural stone. So what are we doing down at home or down at our home in Tucson, A Handyman's Haven? And we do extensive cabinet modifications. We've just increased our mill shop square footage from about 2,000 square feet up to 4,000 square feet. We've got some new equipment in there that we're working with, and we're feverishly modifying cabinets and doing all sorts of extensive things. And one of the very interesting modifications that we've accomplished is that a customer came in with two cabinet front faces. They did have a L-shaped kitchen, and back in the corner, it was dead. There was no storage space at all. This is typical of what many people or even new builders accomplish on certain occasions, in that they just do not want to put a cabinet back in that corner. There's 4 square feet of surface area that is not being utilized appropriately. So we can do various things with that, but this was quite a challenge for us, and they wanted a cabinet that would go back into the corner. It would be approximately 54 inches long, as an example, because of the front faces that they brought in. And then it would have a wing, so to speak, or the right angle would come out about 18 inches. So we took the front faces, we locked those in together, and then we built a carcass for the back of that, and it became one unit. So the customer now has a live area. We put a half shelf in that for them. And also we could put in a half-moon pull-out system, which means there would be no hand-and-knee operation to dig back in that back corner. You wouldn't need a flashlight because all the stuff would be pulled out towards the front. But that's what happened would be happening at nighttime when there's not much light available. and especially if you do not have any light within the cabinetry. You do increase your storage considerably because now the half shelf, which is only about 10 inches deep, with the two pull-out systems, you can increase your storage place quite extensively. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later in one of the other projects that we're working on from that standpoint. Well, we completed the first segment. Our production engineer today is John Couch. It's good to be back with him after my personal hiatus at the home show. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And so, John, spin us away. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice. Transmitting in the A. Henny Manshaven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. We have cabinets available, and we can take our cabinets, and along with your requested design, we can develop your dream laundry room. So think about that, folks, with cabinetry. When you come in and ask for a laundry room cabinets, I basically know that you're going to take whatever cabinets that you'd like, whatever types of operation you want in your laundry room with the cabinetry, and put them in your laundry room. Presently, I like to get talking a little bit about the main market housing report that comes out in the Tucson periodically. This is a report that we'll talk about for September, what's taken place in or took place in September, and I think it's rather interesting in what's going, and many people are aware of this, especially the realtors, that as an example, the closed sales in September were up 13%. It was over 1,400 properties were sold in the Tucson area. That appears to be quite significant from that standpoint. Of course, we'd always like to have it a little bit higher. Then the active listings, this is an interesting thing. So I guess once you start selling properties, there's a distinct possibility, unless you get new properties online, that there's not going to be very many active listings. So, but the active listings actually decreased 17% in September. That puts a burden on the buyers, as an example. It's great for the sellers, but it does put a burden on the buyers. The median price has gone up 8%, and that's another burden on the buyers, that the cost of homes per square foot is rising considerably. And the median price is basically in the vicinity of $225,000. Now, when we talk about median, many of us have heard median, and a lot of us have assumed that median means mean, and they just changed the spelling of the word in order to accomplish that. But from a statistical analysis, median and mean are two different numbers. Mean, as we're quite regularly aware of, and we talk about that average generally, which mean and average in this case are synonymous words, that the average sale price or the mean sales price is you take the total number of items that have sold, you add up that number, not the items themselves, but in this case, the sale price, and divide it by the total items that you have sold. So if you sold 100 items and it was $100 as an example, you divide 100 into that number and you get the average price was $1. That's a pretty simplistic answer from that standpoint. But median is a little bit different. Median is where 50%, it's the price where 50% of the homes in this case are above this price, and 50% of the homes that sold are below this price. This is the basic statistical analysis when people take statistics and learn about median and mean. So 50% of the homes were above the value, and that's what the median price indicates here of the houses that sold. So in this case, there was about 1,422 properties that sold. So about 711 properties were above the median price, and 711 properties were below the median price, that price being $225,000 in September. Months of inventory that's available is classified as a seller's market. This is what I talked about a little earlier. and it was about 2 months of inventory that's available. And in the realtor's mind of trying to sell things like that, that makes it pretty tough. And as we've talked about in the past, is that is more of a seller's market than is a buyer's market. The number of active listings as well as the months of inventory is, like I just mentioned, about 2 months. That's all the inventory that they have to sell, unless there's going to be a drastic increase in a requirement to have people move out. Of course, we don't want that to happen. We want people that graduate from here, as an example, to continue living here and buy a home and establish themselves from that standpoint. So those are some things that are very, very important. The other thing that's a pretty good indication is new home permits. They've been about 300, and closings, generally speaking, have been about 300 also. So in looking at the median price of selling of homes, the seller market, if homes start at about $50,000 as a sale price, the seller conditions of a home up for sale can range all the way up to about $700,000. So any home that's priced in that category, the seller may very well have firm control over what that pricing is. There's even been bidding wars, I understand, and talking to some realtors. They have 3, 4, or 5 people that are bidding, and many of the homes can sell above the listing price, and that's not uncommon at all, and therefore the seller has jurisdiction over that. When you get above $700,000, you're basically talking about a buyer's market. So $700,000 to $1 million and over is basically a buyer's market. Those homes seem to be a little more difficult to sell, mainly because of the price range and possibly because of who is attempting to buy it and what their capital is that is available for the purchase of homes. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about selling your home and moving on, what may be important. Maybe I'll have time this show in order to talk about some things that are important when a buyer comes in to take a look at the house. A little bit about some of the projects that are going on at A Handyman Saving. I did talk about one earlier, is building a carcass for a corner cabinet system that extends along one wall, that is the corner, as I mentioned, and also extends along the 90-degree wall that's adjoining to it. We are working on assisted living apartments, and we are doing extensive modification of our cabinetry in our mill shop that allows them to provide what they want in small apartments, so to speak. I don't know what the square footage is. Probably a single-person unit, probably not more than 2. They may be situated as a one-bedroom, or they could be a studio-type apartment. But we've taken an 18-inch drawer bank, as an example, which has 4 drawers, and we've converted that drawer bank into 2 15-inch tall cabinetry. And they each have 2 drawers associated with it. So that's one thing that we're capable of doing, and this gives them a lot of storage capability. We're putting a countertop on that, and as I mentioned, it's only 15 inches off the floor. So they're using that more as maybe a seat, or they're using it as a arrangement to put various decorative items and include the storage underneath it. Many of us have done that in various aspects of our own home and remodeling, or underneath a booth type system if you have in your home for your eating, possibly as a breakfast table arrangement or a snack table arrangement, where you've created a booth environment. And underneath the booth, all that dead space can be converted into storage space by putting doors on the front of the cabinetry that is the seat. That's so you can store items. Those are items that you don't use on a daily basis. The other thing that we're doing for this assisted living home, we're taking a 24-inch wide pantry that's 84 inches tall. We're putting drawers at the bottom of the pantry. Normally one drawer, in this case it's a relatively deep drawer, about 7 to 10 inches deep. We're putting a countertop, so to speak, on top of that. And then what the assisted living complex is doing, they're putting a mini refrigerator that's going to sit on top of the drawer system. And with that, they're establishing a microwave on top of the mini refrigerator system. So now the people that are living in the apartment are going to have a small refrigerator, very similar to the ones that you've probably seen in many hotel rooms if you've visited hotel rooms periodically. And then on top of that, you'll have your microwave. Then what's left over in the space, they'll be able to put a shelf, which would be somewhat adjustable, where they can store various activities, as well as the upper part of the cabinetry itself, which is about 22 inches high, 24 inches deep, and 24 inches wide. That'll be upper-level storage, of which a shelf can be put in there and increases the storage capability quite significantly. We're going to take this next break a little bit early as we come up on the end. I'm going to talk about rollout trays when we come back. We are transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And we'll have Mr. Couch over here spin us away, and we'll come back and talk to you folks after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice Cerrone in the A. Handy Man's Haven Radio Studio, transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Most of you know that we sell cabinets, so our cabinets can be utilized in your dream media room if you so happen to want to change your cabinetry from that standpoint. I'm going to digress here a little bit. This past weekend, mainly yesterday, was a significant day in the Cerrone household, and many of you know, and maybe most of you don't know, is that yesterday was the date of the Honolulu Hawaii Ironman race. Many of us heard of this for a long period of time, but I became extremely interested in it yesterday because of one of our family's grandsons was entered into the race. Significantly, you have to qualify for this race. Not anybody can just jump on board and try to run the race. But our grandson named Mark last year had won the Idaho Ironman race in that status. So he placed number one. That also increases availability for qualification. And this past year, the beginning of the year, or so, he won the Lake Placid, New York. He didn't win that one. He placed 21st in the Lake Placid, New York Ironman race. So he decided to bite the bullet. Him and his dad went over to Honolulu to participate in that race. There was 2,500 competitors from around the world. 100 of those competitors were considered pros. And 2,400 of those competitors were considered age groupers. So those people that were not pros, as it so says, the age groups were in various age groups for men and also for women. In Mark's age group, there was about 75 people, if I remember correctly, runners in there. And one of the other significant things was that there was over 5,000 volunteers assisting in the race. We've all seen races of various capacities in the United States. We've watched track meets in high school and so on and so forth. We've seen those races. But this is such a massive undertaking. There were 75 countries that were present from around the world, obviously. Germany had 200 participants. Australia had 180. 300 in Germany, 200 in Australia, and 180 in England. And the USA had 700 participants. So The other amazing thing about this race is how you were able to watch the participants continue throughout the ordeal. So a marathon, but an Ironman consists of swimming in water, obviously. Biking is the second event, and the third event is running, and they actually run a marathon. So you're able to download an app, as an example. You could select whatever person that you wanted to watch and monitor, and on this app, it would show the movement of this person. Now, it didn't show the person, but there was just a little rectangle there with an arrow that pointed where that person was participating in the activity. And as a result, you could see it jerk along the trail. And it was what I call a linear race. Most races, as we know, are in ovals or circles or things of that nature. But every participant in the three events would run, so to speak, in a straight line out to the turnaround point and then run back right along the same route that they were ran out in. Swimming, they swam out with the current, and they swam back, unfortunately, against the current. So winds and hills and everything else, everybody that participated in the race had opportunities to run both directions along the same route, and so it was equally paired from that standpoint. There are many other things that were significant, but if you think about the software program, of course, every participant had to wear a chip that transmitted all this information. Obviously, it had to be globally established, coming off the latitude, longitude. I just can't imagine how long it took to write this program, that every participant was checked and clocked, so to speak, throughout the entire race. And it gave you various informations on how far they had to go, what their timing was going to be, so on and et cetera. The other interesting thing is that each event had an accumulative time attached to it. And if you exceeded that accumulative time, then you were pulled from the race. So I think the swimming, as an example, was a little bit over 2 hours, and or 2 hours and 30 minutes. And if you didn't make the cut at 2 hours and 30 minutes, you were cut from the race, even though you may be able to run faster and or bike faster or run faster from that standpoint. Same thing occurred for the bicycling, which was the second event. And I think that was about 10 hours and 30 minutes. And then the run itself, the marathon run, which is about 26.2 miles, as they ran out and ran back along the same route, you had to do that in less than 17. Otherwise, you were disqualified for the race. So quite stringent. Well, in Mark's age group, he placed about 21 out of the number of people who were there. Outstanding performance. We were able to get pictures as he was crossing the finish line, coming off of the TV. We had our apps on a TV, and we were able to take a picture as he was crossing the finish line in great stead. I understand he took an ice bath after it was all over with, and so he could get his muscles and everything else tuned down in order to come back to his home in the Texas region. So a little bit of excitement for the Cerrone family over the weekend. Congratulations to Mark for what he had accomplished from that standpoint. The next thing I'm going to talk about is get involved with rollout trays. We've mentioned this in the past. We do have a capability with rollout trays to make a rollout tray the full width of any cabinet that is so built. All it takes is the proper structural wood and the glide systems in order to accomplish that. But what does that do for the customer? Especially in small kitchens when they may only have one large cabinet. And many cabinets, especially in the affordable line, have a center post, and that becomes a major restriction as far as how wide the rollout tray can be. And also the rollout trays that A Handyman's Haven produces is deeper than most any other rollout trays. And the main reason for that being is that the manufacturers of cabinetry have designed their drawer systems and things like that, that so they can use them in bathroom cabinets, which are less in depth than kitchen cabinets. But we could take whatever cabinet you have and design a rollout tray to maximize the amount of square inches of storage space. As an example, if you take a 36-inch cabinet that has a center post in it, that's left to right, that's 24 inches deep, that's front to back, that the actual floor space in that cabinet will be something around 34 inches wide, that's left to right, and 22 inches deep. That's going to amount to, and I'm going to get involved with some dirty things here with all the numbers involved, but that amounts to about 750 square inches of storage space as far as the area goes. The mid-shelf in most of those cabinets are normally what we call a half shelf, but they're about 10 inches deep. So 10 inches deep times the 34 gives you 340 square inches of storage space. So you add those two numbers together, and you get about 1,090 inches of storage space. That is somewhat significant. The downside of all that is that you're going to have to get on your hands and knees to look in the back of the cabinet to see what you have stored there, especially on the shelf. And if it's at nighttime, as an example, and you do not have lights in your cabinetry, which I would say 99% of most people do not, you're going to be using a flashlight to see what you have stored back there. So by putting in a full-width rollout tray, regardless of how tall it is, that's vertical, you can increase the amount of storage space significantly. So if you put the first tray in, we talked about what that storage space would be, about 748. When you put the second story or the second rollout tray in, you have now increased your storage space significantly, about 110% increase in storage space. So you'd go from basically 1,090 square inches of storage space to well over 2,244 inches of storage, square inches of storage space. That's about 1,150 square inches increase, which amounts to 110% increase in your storage just by putting the trays in your cabinetry. That's especially if you put three trays in. Not only that, but it's on a full extension glide system. So you take all the things that you stored in the back of that cabinet and you pull it out to the front so you look straight down and there it is. And if you have good lighting in your kitchen, whether it's ceiling lighting or other type of lighting, you're not going to need a flashlight in order to see what you have stored there. The full extension glide system are on ball bearings. If you indicate to us at A Handyman's Haven that you're going to be storing some extremely heavy items, such as going to be all cast iron or things of that nature, we can also up the capability of the glides and go to 150-pound glides. That is a static loading, by the way. And 150-pound glides, even with 100-pound glides, that's quite a significant weight. Most of us know that, especially have been in the outdoors, that it's about 1 pound per pint of water. So you can figure that if you have like 5 gallons of water, that's 40 pounds. That's nobody would think about putting 40 pounds of water in a container in a rollout glide system, but that's how heavy or the capability of that happens to be. So keep that in mind. We can do this on any cabinetry that you have already installed. We can set you up with the parts, and we can instruct your installer on how to install them. The glides can be fully adjustable. I shouldn't say the glides, but the mounts for the glides are fully adjustable from that standpoint. And if you use various types of heights of the rollout trays, you can really maximize your utilization. We can even, by removing the top drawer for you as an example, if it's nothing more than a storage cabinet, you may be able to put four-inch high rollout trays in there, which would drastically increase your storage. So keep that in mind, folks. A Handyman's Haven has got it. We can help you increase your capability in your small kitchens especially, let alone the large ones that you may happen to be or have. We've just completed our third segment. or on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. We'll have Mr. John Couch take us away, and we'll come back after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. 16 tons or not, here we are, folks. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk from the A. Henny Manshaven Radio Studio. Concerning our cabinetry, as I've been mentioning throughout the program, we can take our cabinetry along with your requested design, especially, and create a beautiful craft room for you in your home or in your office or wherever it may happen to be, and establish all the storage that is capable with the structures that you have, and also inserting your countertops in order to make it extremely valuable for your home, your office, your churches, or whatever else you may happen to be, and especially in apartment complexes and things like that where they have various craft activities for everybody to work with. We can do it for you, folks. Come on down and see us at 1724 South 6th Avenue in Tucson and at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha in the Green Valley area on the north end. If you'd like to enter into the conversation with anything, please give us a call here at the studio at 520-790-2040. We only have about 8, 9, 10 minutes left, but we can surely entertain your calls, and we can talk about various things that you may have on your mind. I'd like to talk a little bit now about some exterior residential design trends that have been appearing in 2019. One of the major things that most of the architects and interior designers have started recognizing is that the style is very important to people and what they're looking for, and that is what they consider the modern and simple styles in 2019. Brick and batten design offers virtual many types of exterior design services that are available from around the country, no matter where you're at. If you happen to be in a residential home that has a residential area, has a lot of character, surely you want to continue with the similar design of the homes that are there. That may be a red brick veneer type home instead of double wall red brick like my home happens to be. You may want to have some stucco that's plastering on the outside, which brings back a lot of the southwestern appearances from when they were using adobe walls and that nature. That's what most homeowners or what people are looking for in buying homes. So they're gravitating towards what's called the mid-century, which would be last century, modern-type designing. A lot of those homes have a lot of character. I've also seen people who have had block homes, whether they're slump block homes. Sometimes we call them CMUs, concrete masonry units, that they're also plastering the outside of the homes. And with that plastering, they're also embedding in a certain color that fits in with the rest of the area, which gives the home a tremendous characteristic from that standpoint. So the mid-century modern look on a variety of architectural styles does incur a brick or even what they call batten type structures. Now, some of these, you can simulate them. You can put up exterior wall structures that do have the imprint, what looks like brick of various colors or adobe of various colors. And one of the great companies that does that, most of us have heard about the Hardy Board siding. That's James Hardy. It's a trade name right now as an example. And you can also use the planking, so to speak, in two directions. So they can be some vertical. I've seen many homes that are done in vertical, and I've also seen many homes that have been done in horizontal. These big sheets of wood that they put up there indicate what's taken place and really produces a totally different look that would embrace the area that your home is involved in. So embracing the exterior The request for exterior designing that embraces a simpler lifestyle. They don't want it overdone. They don't care for overly ornate type operation. And that's some of the things that are very, very important. Many of the styles, the architectural styles, are done or accomplished with high-quality exterior materials, which are available today. They provide a lot of versatility and a lot of simplicity in the homes. That's not to say that if you want to expense out a red brick home on a veneered wall, a veneer-studded wall with, say, 2x6 walls, which gives you adequate room to run all your plumbing and electrical. That's one way of doing it. So now you've got the brick on the outside, which gives you that red brick look, veneered up against a 2x4 structure or 2x6 structured wall that has a lot of insulation on between the red brick and the studded wall themselves. And then the studs themselves are filled with good R32, maybe even some little denser, depending upon the type of insulation you may provide. And that is one of the major advantages to insulate the wall structures. That'll keep it relatively warm according to, or cool, depending upon what the inside temperature is, and you're not losing that heat or coolness. The other thing to remember is when you're building a home or interested in buying a home, you may want to take a look at, or I shouldn't say necessarily take a look, you may not be able to, but see if you can find out what the ceiling rafter structure and how that insulation is important. Remember that 80% of your heat loss and heat gain in a home goes vertical. As we know, most heat goes right to the ceiling, and therefore, if you have lack of insulation up there, it's going to permeate right through the ceiling, out the roof rafters, and dissipate on you. The coolness that comes in will set on the floor, and normally that's all below, it's always below the window sills and things of that nature, and will stay there for a long period of time. A great asset in that operation is to have fans in your ceiling, fans in your room, and have them reversible. That's so you can either pull the air up, which you got the coolness on the floor. There are fans available that have designed their blades on the fans that where it will also push the air back down again and not only pull it up. You can reverse it into the opposite direction, and that will take the heat that goes up to the ceiling in the wintertime and force it down. Fans operating in a room, ceiling fans, do no good if nobody's in the room. So you can cut down your electricity utilization from that standpoint by only turning it on when you come in the room if you plan on staying there for a period of time. Once you leave, you can turn that back off. Many other sightings are available in order to enhance your interior designing from that standpoint. A couple of other items as far as the favorites for many customers is they also would like to have low maintenance on the outside of their home. There's nothing more grueling than having to go out and repair your home periodically or repaint your home because of weather has deteriorated the paint. There are some excellent paints available today from the major paint companies that will provide a good surface if it happens to be a painted. Low maintenance is very, very important. And then individuality. You can stay within the confines of your residential area and create a lot of individuality. One should be very careful, though, that the individuality of your home is not so extensive that it stands out like a sore thumb, as we say, or a plum in the middle of whatever it happens to be from that operation. Features that bring the outdoors in are also very important. People like to get back to nature, and they especially like to look in their backyard to see what's going on. The window structure is very, very important. Many people like to use sliding windows or sliding glass doors, as we say. There are various criteria today for sliding glass doors, which are very, very important. If you happen to have a swimming pool in the backyard and you have a sliding glass door back there, it's today's code requires an automatic closer on it. They do have those available. And it's probably a good idea for any door in the on the back part of a home entering into the patio where you may have a water characteristic back there that can produce disastrous events. So keep that in mind, along with any construction that you may do. Remember that focus on quality. Quality is going to cause you a little extra expenditure, but don't be afraid of that, because quality will last a lifetime longer. If you have to repair things periodically because you had low quality in order to save money, that may not be a good project for you. Anyway, we're coming close to the end of this program. I'd like to emphasize again that if you'd like to come on down to the store at 1724 South 6th Avenue or give us a call with any questions, like many customers do, on 520-624-7200. We'll entertain anything and any discussion that you may desire. We do this every day of the week, and it's exciting to know what people are asking for from that standpoint. We've also developed an extra solution, or I should say an excellent solution, to an outside corner L arrangement in your kitchen. We can put a cabinet in there, which is normally required from many cabinet makers on a very expensive operation. Well, folks, I'd like to have you stick around. We have none other than Jeff Prather coming up under Prather Point. He always has some excellent discussion on what's taking place in the United States or around the world. Do stick around and listen to him. I am Maurice Cerrone from A. Handyman's Haven, transmitting today in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio. We'll see you next week, and have a great week.